welcome back to Becoming Muse Podcast. I'm your host, Ashlyn Kristoff, and today I am here with one of my fellow healers, Nikki Marr, who's an integrative healer specializing in Reiki. And I am so grateful to have you. And as a fellow healer in the spiritual community, but also as a fellow mom, because there's so many things that I, even though I've been a mom for a very long time, I'm still learning. And so I really am curious to kind of get other moms' feedback on different things during this time, as well as, you know, your own experience. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you so much for having me, first and foremost. It's an honor to be here. And yes, I'm a Reiki healer. I also work very deeply in subconscious healing now, which is so important in today's world. And yes, being a mother, as well as an entrepreneur and a healer and all the things, it's an adventure for sure.
It really is. Yes. It's it's a, like allowing us to step into utilizing all the tools that have been given to us, and then having this other life form, if you will, to kind of help navigate and grow with. It's been, I know from my experience that I'm going through currently with my own son, who's a lot older, I'm still trying to figure out how to help him navigate and survive pretty much in this world. And I think that, you know, whether it's Reiki or subconscious, I would love to know more about subconscious healing. I think these types of things can actually help our young 20-somethings who are really struggling. Mm. And I'm, as a mother, trying to help him in any way I can.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I commend you for being so open and doing your very best, because I remember being in my 20s and it is very confusing. At least it was for me. And I just think he must be so lucky to have you as a mother because of how aware you are and how mindful you are. And bless my parents, love them so much, but I did not have that support and I was lost for a very long time. So he is very blessed to have you. I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yes. And for me, being a mother today, which I have a 3-year-old, by the way, so it's very different.
Yes. It is. It is. But it's still, your heart's still there.
Yes.
In the same place, even at 20. And it doesn't change.
Yes. And actually, I'd love your response on this, because I find myself often reminding myself, because my goal when I had him was to let him be exactly who he is, mm-hmm. without trying to control him. But also I'm trying to, I love the word navigate, help him be safe and have boundaries. And so there's such a sacred dance between letting him be who he is and trying to teach him to stay on track.
Yes.
I find that to be the most challenging thing, because I'm really not trying to control, but I'm also, yeah.
Yeah. Trying. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. Because the kids that had the ultimate freedom, if, you know, we all know them. And some people listening might have had that. It's almost like you long for somebody who actually is going to give you some structure.
Yes.
And the structure is just as important as having the freedom.
It is. I'll share with you a little bit about me in regards to that, because once again, love my parents so much.
Yeah.
They are amazing individuals. One of them's passed. He's always with me, so he's here now. Mm-hmm. They're incredible people. They admit to their faults. I was emancipated at 15. I was really lacking structure a lot of my upbringing. Like, no rules. Well, there was like fake rules, and then there was rules that were supposed to be there, and then they weren't. And I look back, and without really knowing it, I subconsciously really wanted to just know that they cared. Mm-hmm. So I wish there would have been more structure, not structure in the sense of like, you have to be this way, but I care about you. I want you to be safe, and I care about your future, and this is why I'm doing this. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I can reflect on that.
Yeah. Yes. Amazed at 15. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that?
Well, I wasn't necessarily completely financially on my own, so that wasn't one thing, but okay. I just felt like they were done. They just didn't want to deal with me. Okay. And I took that as a sign that I was an adult. So at the age of 17, I went and lived on my own. I actually went to college early, and I was just like, okay, I'm an adult now. And I was actually 16 when I left, I think. Anyway, yes.
Okay. That's incredible. Was there kind of a reason behind it, like leading up to, or was it just their lack of kind of your lack of need for them at that point, or you felt like you knew everything and you wanted to take the reins?
It was a little of both, but so I got like 3.9 GPAs. I wasn't a slacker in any way.
Oh my goodness.
But my parents were divorced, and there was just so much tumultuous stuff, and there was also religious stuff going on that I didn't agree with, so it was a lot of different things.
Got it.
I, like, got kicked out of a house for not believing in certain things, and there was just a lot going on, so.
Yes.
Which was remedied later on. There was a lot of healing around that, so anyway.
That's a lot, yeah. It's a lot. I mean, I remember being that age and just thinking, not just thinking I knew everything. I had all the freedom in the world. I actually was the kid that had all the freedom in the world. My mother didn't know much of anything that was going on. And so I really could kind of do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so even though I wasn't emancipated, I was not under the care or observation of really any adult.
Yeah.
And so when you're given that freedom at a very young age, it's you really do have to either grow up really quickly mm-hmm. and become responsible, or you kind of lose it.
Yes.
So you are, you know, it's incredible. It's an incredible place to be now looking back.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, and I believe that we went through all of that for a reason, because now we can provide our own children with the wisdom that we gained. Which is a lot, I'm sure.
It is a lot. It's a lot. And and sometimes you think your kids, I think I always thought my kids were going to be the same as me, or have the same temperament or experiences, mm-hmm. or, you know, that I would be able to help them more. And my older son he just had a different drive. He was not, I was always kind of at a loss, where I felt like I did the things that I didn't have as a kid, that I felt like if a parent gave me, I would have been much more successful or, you know, happy or whatever it was. And no matter what opportunity I was giving Jack or trying to help him open doors or whatever, it would be short-lived. So it would be something where he would start it with kind of this, he would start a project or start a new job or start something with kind of this hope of it changing his life. Oh yes, this is the thing, you know? And then I, as his mother, would be so excited. He found something, you know, it's like, I didn't even care what it was. And then within 2 weeks he would be, no, it's awful. He would complain, and it would be boring, and it would be not for him, whether it was soccer or you know, certain classes for school or art class or whatever it was. And so I was like, what am I doing wrong?
Nothing. You know?
What am I doing wrong? And why is this child not finding his passion the way I had so hoped he would? So yeah. So it's kind of at that point now where thinking about the different healing modalities and what could actually help this child who has chosen a path that is so different than I would have ever conceptualized.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was just him being bored and trying. So in a little bit of backstory on Jack is that, you know, he tried he basically started taking drugs without really any reason behind it. It wasn't from the outside perspective, other than he was dealing with internal things and depression and anxiety and a lot of that. So my thought is, how do I give him another tool to maybe dive in on a more subconscious level and heal where this is actually stemming from?
Yeah, I can relate to that a lot. I was super into partying and drugs at a very, I wouldn't say a super young age.
Right.
But I started maybe when I was 17, 18 or whatever. And I know now that I did it because of subconscious issues that I didn't realize. I thought like, oh, I'm coming into my own. I'm so wild. This is how I'm going to express myself. But it was really me needing to be loved so deeply. And I don't know, Jack, but I can so relate to this because I also am someone who has been in everything. Like, the amount of careers and different things I've been interested in is astounding. And it did frustrate my father a lot too. Do you know what his human design is? I'm just curious.
He's a generator.
Okay. I'm a Mani-Gen, so manifesting generators in human design are even more. This is like the design. That's what they do. They jump all over the place. Is he really into being self-empowered and independent?
He is. I want to say yes so badly. The independence is there, but there is a lack in self-confidence.
Okay, got it. I'm just wondering, I would have to work with him to know, but certain tools like tapping has been really transformational for a lot of people I've worked with recently, because tapping is something that you can do really easily and it feels really good. Have you done it before?
You know what's so funny? It's what? My mother used to do it.
Really?
Because she had a kinesiologist chiropractor. Uh-huh. And so he would do all these like muscle testing, and I'd always think she was just absolutely bananas.
I love it.
I'd be like, yeah, I don't believe that so much, Mom. She's like, okay, hold this and let's see if your body needs it, you know? And
I'd be like, my God.
So yeah, so I've been exposed to all of those things pretty early on, and then tapping to release like old traumatic energy, right? Like
trauma energy. Well, it doesn't have to be old. So tapping you can use right when you feel you're having self-deprecating thoughts, or if you feel worried or you feel nervous. I use it all the time.
You do?
Yeah. My husband's like always making fun of me. He's like, does that work? I'm like, it really works. It really, really works, because
I
have now realized that since that time when I was 15, I developed a worthiness issue, like deep worthiness problems. And so the tapping has helped me really release that out of my system, and it's created miracles in my life. And I wish I would have known this when I was younger, because anytime something comes up, you don't even need to know where something's coming from necessarily. Of course, it always helps if you do. But let's say you suddenly just become so angry and you're not sure why. You can tap to release, and what ends up happening is the anger starts to dissipate, and then suddenly something else comes up and you're like, oh, there's sadness underneath the anger. Let me tap on that. And anyone can do it. But what I'm explaining to you is kind of a different style of tapping than what is on Instagram that I see a lot of, because there's a lot of manifestation tapping, which is another type of tapping, which you can do that after you clear. But I would recommend that for him if he'd be open to it. Like I said, everyone's different.
Here's the thing. It's like if I gave him something to do, so, you know, a tool, he will do it.
Wow.
It's just a matter of if he's seeing the change quick enough.
Oh, this could be really amazing, because that's why people love it, is you feel this instant shift.
Really? Yes. Are you doing it like on your third eye? Or are you doing it – where do you do it?
So there's many different points. When I'm clearing – well, this one you do with manifestation and clearing. But – and by the way, there's practitioners that do lots of different points. But I learned from someone who learned from like the engineer who created this. So the inner eyebrow, outer eyebrow, under the eye, under the nose, the chin, the point in your – on your collarbone where your bra strap is, if you have one. For men, it's where it would be. And then one that's uncommon that a lot of people don't know about is under your boob or under your pec.
Okay.
And then your wrists.
Together.
Yes. And all points on your wrist, top of the head. And then Another one is karate chopping, but I usually only use that when I'm doing the affirmations. But yeah, you can play with it too. It doesn't need to be that stringent or that like structured of a practice. Yeah. But
I like yeah. that.
When I do it in a therapeutic setting, I usually keep it very concise.
Right. That's so okay. So if, I would love to get some more.
Yeah, let's do it.
Information on that and get him even working with you on some level. Cause
I would love to.
He's really. He's ready. I'm ready for him to start, you know, a different path.
Yeah, and I also want you to know that you shouldn't be so hard on yourself, because I've been given this advice too, and my son's 3. Oh, he's a 3-year-old, and someone reminded me recently, like, remember that you're his mom. So you're always going to be the mother figure, and so other people outside of that role may be able to help in a different way than you can, and it doesn't mean anything about you. It's just because you're the mother. Like,
yeah. I totally understand that perspective, because I had Jack, you know, pretty young. I had Jack at 20, so it wasn't as much as I even thought I was pretty mature for 20. I will give myself credit on that.
Yes.
But I still had so much to learn. Where now at 40, I see, you know, a lot of different perspective. And I think that I'm so grateful to have had him in my 20s, because he was such a transformative part of, you know, who I was becoming. And everything had to kind of pass through this filter of me having a child. Mm-hmm. So if it didn't fit into, you know, his life, it wasn't going to fit into mine. Mm-hmm. So it pretty much kept us and kept me very focused. And it was a huge blessing. And he is a huge blessing. It's just at this point, he needs more outside guidance than I am capable of.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible that he has you, like I said, because I would have loved that. How old is he again?
He's 20.
Okay. Seriously, if I learned tapping at 20 or any of these healing modalities.
Yes. I mean, think about it. At 20, I thought, you know, spirituality and I think I was pretty against a lot of belief systems, mm-hmm. at that point, especially anything that had to do with religion or organized religion or this idea of God, and walking that really away from that path. And it really just only brought me right back into it in the sense of it doesn't have to be this controlling, you know, yes. negative thing over you telling you what to do.
Yeah, you can discover your own flavor of spirituality.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which you do so majestically. Obviously.
Thank you. I try. I think everybody has their own style and their own thing that speaks to them. And I think the personal sovereignty, which I've spoke on before, is such a big element of it, because I don't think everything is right for everyone.
Oh, it's not. That's so funny. I was talking about that earlier today. It's so important that you follow what makes you feel empowered. And that's really how you can stay on the path for yourself. If anything takes your power away, that's not true mm-hmm. spirituality for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's like what – finding that true empowerment
mm-hmm.
and going with it. Because it's all internal, right? And it's just bringing that internal yes. out into the world.
Yes.
And how are we being the most conscious and awake and aware and loving beings?
And, yes, exactly. It's all about the energy.
So – tell me a little bit more about subconscious healing, because that I'm very intrigued by. that idea.
So am I. I know. I'm so passionate about it. I can't stop talking about it. I feel like I found a mission in my life. This didn't come up for me until 2020. Okay. I had someone very close to me really start to break down, and I got to witness panic disorder, anxiety disorder at a very severe level, and feel just completely helpless in so many ways, myself and obviously them, and just navigating that. And I discovered hypnotherapy and began training in it. And I've been training heavily for a year now, and now I am outwardly practicing. And yes, and I will be under their umbrella for another 6 months, but now I'm actually a practicing therapist.
Okay.
So, but it was multimodality, the school. So we learned tapping, biofeedback, all kinds of different things, therapeutic imagery. So once I learned a lot about the subconscious, I couldn't believe that we don't teach about this starting at the youngest age possible.
Yep.
Because our subconscious mind is 95% of our mind, and we don't actually even know what the subconscious mind is. We've just named it, but it is the operating system of our life. It controls everything, what you're attracted to, how you experience things, how you feel about things, and even the negative aspects of why you block yourself in your life. So
I love this. Yes. I love this. So it's like mixing in it's hypnotherapy, if you will, and then you're mixing in your own.
Yeah, so when I say hypnotherapy, most people think of being hypnotized with like a crystal or even being asleep in a chair, but we get hypnotized every day when we drive, when we're on Instagram, when we watch TV. That's all being hypnotized. So what's funny is in my Reiki trainings and when I'm teaching energy medicine, I like to take people on journeys. So I would go on these long meditative journeys with people, like 30, 40 minutes, and have them meet their inner child or do certain things. So I didn't know what I was doing, but that's hypnotherapy. And I would have certain clients completely fall asleep and not remember anything. And I later learned it's because they have a specific type of brain that you basically go on unconscious. You're still receiving the information, but you have no recollection. And so, yeah, I was already doing all this stuff, and I had no idea that it had like a name.
Yep.
Or really how to work with it in a therapeutic way. So I know this is a very powerful tool.
I love it. And you're 100% right about the hypnotizing elements. I mean, if you think about it, media has known that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's not like a secret.
No.
It's just like they've known that, they've used it. That's the way that they kind of get through. They get their propaganda in, mm-hmm. and you are tuned in and glued to that TV or that screen or all of it.
Don't even get me started.
I don't know if it's just the awareness of it, but it's why I will only watch shows that are very, very easy. And when I say easy, it's like lightweight and like uplifting, mm-hmm. and somewhat meaningful, if you will.
Inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Or it could just be like, I need to tune out, and I know I'm tuning out, and I know I'm being, you know, kind of sucked into something, but as long as it's something that is not dark and negative and violent.
Yes.
Because most of the stuff that they started releasing, I mean, this is my biggest 2020 thought was, Why during 2020 are they taking on the horror genre in such a way that's all you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up being this is kind of crazy probably to anyone who knows me now, but that was like my favorite genre. And so I know a ton of information about old horror movies and even new ones. And I thought, and I was always looked at, you know, as when I was younger, as kind of weird. Like, you like what? Who likes horror movies? And then all of a sudden, it became this huge phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And like that's all they were making.
Yes.
And I thought, why during a pandemic, or why during something that can really cause a lot of anxiety by itself, are you only releasing things that would create more anxiety and more fear and drive this narrative? So it was shocking to me.
I don't think anyone truly knows. Well, there may be people that know. There are people that know on the planet what really went on. But there was no there was groups of people that were trying to do subconscious healing. But what was given to the public for support was just a joke.
Well, and then I thought even
mentally.
Even during the Great Depression, back in the 1930s, they were trying to release all the movies that were coming out were meant to be to take you out of the world that there that was around you. So it was like very kind of funny and lighthearted movies that were meant to kind of give you an upliftment. Mm-hmm. If it only took you out of that moment for 2 hours, you felt better about your life for whatever reason. And then this was like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so I thought, this is planned. That to me just played into the whole thing.
Yes. So. Well, there are experts that know how the subconscious works, and they're constantly doing that, whether on Instagram, social media, movies, commercials, everything. And I just want everyone who does listen to this to know that what you fill your mind with 30 minutes before you fall asleep really directs your life. 30 minutes before you fall asleep, your mind is the most malleable and the most open, and it will just suck it in. Yes. So 30 minutes before you go to bed, you better be doing something positive. Aware. Yes.
I love that. I love that information. And I hope that inspires someone out there to do something different.
Me too. Yes, that's all I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I feel like we could talk for 2 more hours.
We could. We definitely could. Yes. But you'll come back and we'll do it again. Because this has been such – even just talking to you about everything going on now. Yes. Such a blessing. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm so honored. Can't wait to be back. Love you.
Love you too.